The subject of Perek Chaf Aleph are the laws of Muktzah. And the first Mishnah talks about different situations in which one carries a Muktzah item as well as a non-Muktzah item. Now, as we have explained earlier on in the Masechta, something which is not considered a utensil and it's not considered food, that is known as Muktzah Machmas Gufay, something which is Muktzah because of itself, meaning it itself is not considered to be a utensil or a useful item, and it itself doesn't really have a use which can be used for itself. For example, a stone or even money, although money can be used to buy things, it doesn't have a use in and of itself. The coin itself cannot really be used, and it is considered muktzah. Another thing we've learned earlier on in the Masechta is that something which is a base, something which is holding a muktzah item, also becomes muktzah, and that is known as bosses ledavar ha'asur. We're now going to see a couple of exceptions to the rule of bosses ledavar ha'asur. And the first one is Netel Adam es Benoi v'ho'evin biyodei. One is allowed to carry his child whilst a stone is in the hand of the child. Now, of course, we're discussing here Rishus HaYochid, a private domain in which it is permitted to carry. So the only problem here is going to be a mukta problem. But the carrying itself is not a problem. And the Gemara explains that this is only permitted if the son is extremely close to his father, and if the father doesn't pick him up now, even with the stone in his hand, there's a chance that the child could even become ill because he's so desperate for his father to hold him and he doesn't want to let go of the stone. So in that case, the Rabbanon were lenient and said that one can carry his son even though his son is carrying a mukta item. Second exception, the chalkola, one is allowed to carry a basket of fruit even if v'ho'evin b'secha there is also a stone in the basket. This is known as a basis ledavar ha'asar uledavar ha'mutar. A base, something which is holding a mukta item as well as a non-mukta item. So the stone is mukta, but the fruit are not mukta. And the Gemara explains that even this is not so simple. If there's a way for you to get rid of the stone and only carry the fruit in the basket, then you're not allowed to carry the stone in the basket. So if, for example, the fruit were dry and you could easily just tip over the basket and let everything fall out and then just put back all of the dry fruit, or even hold onto the dry fruit and tip over the basket so that the stone falls out. So it's only in a case where the fruit are wet, or you're not able to move it to the side of the basket and just tip over the stone. And if you tip over the whole thing, then the fruit might get ruined. Only in that case are you allowed to carry the basket with the mukta item together with the non-mukta items. On a similar note, the Mishnah discusses truma. Truma is the gift which goes to Kohanim, and only Kohanim are allowed to eat it. And the halacha is that if the truma becomes tomei, then the Kohen is no longer able to eat it and he has to burn it. Now, of course, since it's forbidden to burn things on Shabbos, Tomei Truma is Mukta on Shabbos. So the Mishnah discusses a case where one has a basket of both Tomei Truma and Tahor Truma. So again, a Mukta item and a non-Mukta item. And the Mishnah says, Metadlin Truma Tomei Matahira. One is allowed to move the basket containing both Tomei Truma and Tahor Truma, or if it contains Tomei Truma v'imachulin, and chulin, which is regular produce which anybody is allowed to eat, and certainly it is not considered mukta. And once again, the Gemara explains that this is not always permitted. Only if it's not possible for you to carry the non-mukta truma by itself, only then is it permitted. For example, if the tomei truma is at the top of the basket, so you're not able to just remove the tahor truma by itself and carry that by itself, and you're also not able to tip over the basket because we're talking about, let's say, wet fruit, which would get ruined if you tip it over. So in that scenario, you would be able to carry this container. And we also see another important rule which comes out of this case, and that is that even when one is allowed to carry a bosses ledavar ha'asur or ledavar ha'mutar, you're only able to do so if the non-mukta item is considered more significant or valuable than the mukta item. So that's why in this case, certainly you would be able to do it if there is no way to do it by itself, since tahar truma is considered more valuable than tomei truma. Now the last law of this mission does not concern muktzah, but it concerns another halacha with regards to truma. And the halacha is that if somebody has truma and it gets mixed with chulin, chulin is food which can be eaten by anybody, truma is food which can only be eaten by a kohen. Now if there is less than 100 times more chulin than truma in the mixture, then mejabon on the entire mixture is considered to be truma, and a non-kohen would be forbidden to eat that. However, if there are at least 100 times more chulin units than truma units, then the truma is considered to be nullified. However, it is still forbidden to eat from that mixture if you're not a kohen, until you separate the amount of truma which was in the mixture and do give that to a kohen. Now, as we have seen a couple of examples throughout the Masechta, It is forbidden to fix something on Shabbos. And included in that is making something permissible on Shabbos. And because of that, the Chachamim hold that it is forbidden to separate this one unit of truma, since that is like fixing the mixture. It's like fixing the food by making it permissible. However, Rabbi Yehuda argues, Rabbi Yehuda says, Af malin es hamedumah be'echadumeya, one is even allowed to take up, to remove truma from a meduma, from a mixture of truma and chulin, if there is at least 100 times more chulin than truma. And the reason for Rabbi Yehuda is that, although in general when one separates truma, he does so physically, he actually takes the produce and separates it from the rest of the pile. When it comes to a mixture of truma and chulin, says Rabbi Yehuda, it's enough that you just have in mind which part of the produce you're going to designate as truma. So you can actually designate that part as truma in your mind, and then the rest of it becomes permitted. That being the case, it definitely does not look like you're fixing the produce, and therefore, says Rabbi Yehuda, you're even allowed to do so physically. You can actually go and physically separate a unit of the mixture as truma, because that is not actually a necessary part of fixing the produce, of making it permissible.